We didn't get here in time, and not due to my driver at all, but we didn't get an opportunity to shake hands with each and every one of you. But we're so glad that you're here, and you found it in your heart to come this way and to be with us and to help us support the gospel and to lift the gospel up before a lost and dying world. I've walked in late to several different revivals. In fact, I've given pastors nearly heart attacks. There was one occasion where I was really late. And the pastor was up kind of like in here, and he was on his knees praying. And I thought, oh goodness, he's praying for the service tonight. That's great. And so I helped him back up, and he said, I wasn't praying for the service. I was praying you'd show up. Yeah, and Brother Tim, whenever I walked in, said, Brother, you're kind of cutting it close. So we're glad to be here tonight, each and every one. And we told Brother Kenneth that we would try to relieve him or spell. We used to call it spelling him, give him a bit of a break. So at any rate, we're just so glad to see this goodly number found in their hearts to come this way. All from all the churches, you know, I'd be hard pressed just to know how many from different churches would be here tonight, but you look like a beautiful and a very, very welcome congregation tonight. We pray that you'll be praying, that you'll pray for this service tonight, that God will have all honor and glory. And as we've always said, this altar is always open. There's never, never a close sign. You're not going to find a 9-to-5 up here, make an appointment with the Lord. But you know, when you feel that urgency of the Holy Spirit, that's the time to move. That's the time to call upon His name. And we ask that you would follow the Lord just however He would direct you in this service tonight. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, and we're going to begin our reading lesson with the 89th verse. This is a psalm, and according to what scholars have said, it's the one psalm that's really been classified as in the middle of the book. Now, that depends upon the classification of all the different chapters and the numbers and the verses and everything. But I do think that it does kind of bear repeating that being in the center of the book, that it's going to have something for us tonight, dividing Old Testament and with some things about the New Testament. In the New Testament, we find that it talks about the Word of God. And the question is, what is the Word of God? Is it just preaching? Is it just expounding on the Scriptures? You know, just what is the Word of God? We talk about it a lot. And, you know, I've never really found a good definition of it, you know, that I really felt satisfied with. But, you know, I believe it is whenever that the Scriptures are accompanied with the Holy Spirit, it becomes the Word of God. And it does, He does His work, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter and 12th verse, that He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of individuals. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. He divides asunder. He divides congregations. Not over church politics or anything, but He discerns those that are lost and those that are saved. And He looks down deep into that part of us that's deeper than even the deepest ocean in this world. And that's the heart of an individual. That part that you and I, as mortals, cannot see, but God can see. And the Word of God can open up a lot tonight. It can tell us where that we stand with God. Doesn't have to take a lot of words for it to do that. Jonah went through Nineveh preaching just a simple, I believe as Brother Kim said, an 8-sentence or an 8-word message. 90 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that was sufficient for God to use to touch the hearts of the Ninevites. And you know, then there are those that will proclaim a message that John the Baptist, whenever that Jesus came upon the scene, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And thus it drew attention unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to begin tonight with the 89th verse. If you have your Bible with you, we invite you to read along with us. In the 89th verse of the 119th Psalm, we find these words. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, whenever that you read the psalm, sometimes you'll run across a word like Selah. And that's a Hebrew word that means just stop and think on that for just a moment. Just meditate upon that. "Thy word forever, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in my affliction. And I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies, for I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." If correctly read, this includes the 89th down through the 96th verses of the 119th Psalm. Our text will come from that very first scripture that we read in your hearing, or that very first verse. "Forever, O Lord." And think about this for a while. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." There are some things in this world that are really not very secure. We really don't have security like we would like to. We'd like to go to our bed tonight and feel like everything is at rest around the world and there's no conflict. There's no apprehension about what tomorrow will be. But we don't have that assurance. There's a song that says, many times I think about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And we really don't. But you know, we can have an assurance in one who is eternal, one who is unchangeable, one who is faithful, one that the Bible says, and we preached several times in this revival meeting, that is like a brother that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, the Bible tells us in one place that God's word is eternal. That's pretty simple because, you see, God is eternal. Where did God begin with? Where did he come from? A child will ask that, and that's one of the deepest things to try to consider and to answer that child's question. You know, we think about the best way to illustrate it is that, you know, if you have a point and you draw a line with an arrow on it, that always represents going out into infinity. That's a mathematical precept. But then if you have a line with two arrows going out from each side to each side, that represents eternity. And that's what God is tonight. God has no beginning of days. He has no end of life. He rests and resides in the realms of eternity. But yet he is with us in this time frame that we are in tonight. And his word, if God is eternal, then his word is eternal. Then what he says and what he teaches us, what he reveals in his word is eternal. It's from everlasting to everlasting. And being that, the Bible tells us that the word of God is going to stand forever. It's not going to be something that we subscribe to and then we forget about. You know, man can have a theory and then several years later he'll dispute that theory. I read a book by Stephen Hawking one time, and I'm not trying to show how smart that I am or anything. I had a headache whenever I finished it. But it was called A Brief History of Time. And in it, he got into some really deep things about time and the passage of time. And does time unfold upon itself? Well, he came out a few years later, and he had another book. It was called A Briefer History of Time. And you know what he said at the preface? He said, everything I said in the first book, just forget about all of that. So we find that theories come and theories go. We find that philosophies come and philosophies go. Empires come and empires go. Life is very fleeting tonight. Did you know that? We do not have a grasp upon time where that we can stop it or that we can slow it down. But as we said, the Word of God is going to stand. And it's going to stand the test of time. And it's going to stand, my friend, whenever that this world is on fire. Everything about it from eternity, from the mind of God, is going to stand and going to stand the test of time, and it will not change. Do you know God does not change? If God changes, he's not God. But tonight, my friend, he is eternal from everlasting unto everlasting. And we find that the Bible tells us that in his word, and we've not really defined what the word of God is, but that that comes from his mind and from his very heart and from his mouth and through the Holy Spirit into the minds of those that he has called to pin down and to write of his love for mankind and so on and so forth. We find that, my friend, those words, those things that come from God, not only are eternal, but they have authority behind them. Now, I want you to know God has all authority. God can do whatever that he wants to do. Whenever that he created the creation, he created it exactly the way that he wanted it. He didn't have to come to a committee and say, well, now, you know, I'm thinking about making an earth, and what do you gentlemen over here think I ought to, do you think I ought to make it round, or do you think? No, God knew exactly what he wanted. He was going to create something and speak into existence something that would ultimately give him honor and glory. Something that would magnify him. Do you know that the very creation that you look at glorifies God? Did you see the moon tonight? Yeah. My wife reminded me about whenever that she was saved. She said it was on a night whenever there was a huge full moon. And you know, I believe that, my friend, God put that moon in that position. And he knew that a little 12-year-old girl would one day need salvation. This was in the mind of God. How can we measure God? How can we down to the very, you know, I don't even know if I can finish this sermon because of the magnitude of the greatness of God. Do you look out upon the universe? Do you see the Milky Way? And my friend, how did something like that come into existence by itself? It didn't. There was somebody who created it, who had great power, and who had a great design, and he had a great purpose for it. And whenever that he began creation, whenever that he began to bring it all together, he didn't have to go down to Ace Hardware and get some materials and order those and, you know, put all that together. All God did was he spoke it into existence. If you ever read it in the original, whenever that you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it's really thrilling when you look at the way that the writer intended it. He said, God said, light, and light was. He didn't have to figure out the physics of it because he was the basis of the physics of it. He did not have to, my friend, go through everything that we go through to try to create things. My friend, all he did was just speak and there was light. And you know what God said about it? God said it's good. And he goes down the line and he creates the animal life. And he goes down the line and he creates all that's in the sea. And then the last thing, the crowning glory to his creation was whenever that he, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit bowed down into the dust of the earth and they formed a body. And all three of them breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that body became a living soul. And not only was alive, I shouldn't say it, he was alive, but he had the capability of feeling God and understanding God. My friend, I want you to know man did not evolve from something over here, and I'm not waylaying people tonight, but I want you to know that God created man in a way that man could know God. Amen. And Adam did. And Adam walked with God. And Adam talked with God. And Adam understood the words of God. And he understood all about him. And they communed together. And they walked together. God's word is law. Do you know whenever that God speaks something and says, this is the way that it is, that's the way that it is. And I want you to know, and we're just going to bring it down to brass tacks tonight. What God said 2,000 years ago is sin, 2,000 years later is still sin. Amen? I want you to realize today that we cannot change the precepts of God. That's the way that they are. And I want you to know with all of the creation that God made, the Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews in the first chapter and in the third verse, he upholds it all by the word of his power. He didn't just create it and fling it out there and just say, well, man and all creation, you just get by the same as you can. But I want you to know that God is still intricately involved with his creation, my friend. Every molecule that moves, every heartbeat that you and I receive, every breath that we draw, God is intimately related to the function of that today. He's not just off here having a coffee break. He's not over here eating a donut. But my friend, he is very intricately involved. Amen. With his creation, with man. And my friend, his word has not changed. And my friend, his word is still law. And he controls the destiny of mankind. He controls our destiny. Now, nothing today happens without God being involved in it. No matter how bad, no matter how gloomy, no matter how despairing that our world may look like around the globe, God is still in control. Do you believe that tonight? My friend, he's still in control. He controls nations. He controlled, my friend, whenever the Daniel saw the great image. My friend, there was one kingdom that came along. That kingdom fell. Another kingdom came along. That fell. Another kingdom came along. And that fell. And God was involved in it. Someone will say today, God doesn't need to be involved in the government and the politics of a nation. I want you to know, my friend, you'd have to go back and dispute what Daniel saw and what Daniel was involved in and what some of the prophets were involved in that prophesied about some of the things that were taking place. And God brought it all down to this in His Word. He brought it down to a nation, to a country, my friend, that long years ago spoke unto the founder of it, Abraham, and who said that I will make of your people a great and mighty nation that shall bless all the other nations. Do you know, my friend, the most important way that He blesses them is the fact that that people became a conduit. It became, my friend, a funnel, if you will, for the Holy Spirit to work upon a young virgin by the name of Mary. My friend, it was not by accident that an angel spoke to a young virgin by the name of Mary who lived, I believe, in Bethlehem. I may have that wrong. Spoke to her. She had never known a man. She had never known anyone. She was espoused unto a man by the name of Joseph. And the Bible tells us today that one day the Holy Spirit spoke the Word of God unto her and told her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that today? Amen. Now, science will tell you something else. They say, oh, well, you know, it was probably a Roman soldier come along and raped her and she made up this song. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it today. My friend, I want you to know the Holy Spirit came upon her. Her womb conceived today. And my friend, he fulfilled through her what it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The good brother quoted this the other day. How that whenever that Satan brought sin and death upon this world, that God would send one into the world through the seed. Notice it says the seed of the woman. How did they, and I'm kind of diverting a little bit, how did they count genealogy back in that day? Seed of the man, you're exactly right. You're a winner. My friend, through the seed of the woman, and you know rabbis to this day still wrestle with that? They cannot, well, why would he say, you know, well, he can say whatever he wants to, but through the seed of the woman, he shall bruise the head of the serpent, that is Satan. And in doing so, he shall bruise his heel. In fact, that's the first place where that the Word of God was brought forth that told us of how that God would save mankind through a Savior. We find that they, my friend, that not only is God faithful today, not only is His Word faithful today, but there is no variableness. There is no changing in it whatsoever. What was the command of God back then is the command of God today. And someone will say today, well, you know, preacher, you know, they sacrificed and they did all this at the commandment of God. And, you know, what was that all about? Well, that was a representation of what was to come. There was something wonderful that was going to come. And I want you to realize today that every year that they had the Day of Atonement, it preached the gospel to them in types and in shadows. Every time they saw a high priest go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, it represented Christ going in on our behalf before God, not empty-handed, but with the blood of the everlasting covenant. And yes, I'll preach unto you today that it still takes the blood in order to redeem somebody today. And you take, and I'm just kind of throwing this in here, but you take the blood, if somebody takes the blood out of their preaching, if somebody takes the blood out of what they sing, my friend, you have no gospel whatsoever. You have a hopelessness that's impinged upon mankind. We find that the Bible tells us that He is not a man that He should lie. God is true today. God cannot tell a lie. And we used to play these games in college about, you know, you would make a statement and it would sound ridiculous. and it made no sense whatsoever, but nevertheless, you played it, and that was always some sort of precept, some sort of principle. And the one that used to always get people was, can God make a rock that he cannot pick up? My answer for that was, why should he? Why should he? But God cannot lie. God is immutable in that. He's never changing. And my friend, his love towards mankind is still the same. The Bible tells us today that he has given the word. And he's given the word through preaching. And he's given the word through the written word today, through songs. My friend, whenever that you hear a gospel song, that's the word. Whenever that you hear preaching, that's the word. Whenever that today you hear someone praying and they're praying for someone, that's the word. The word of God cannot be bound. And we know today that it is that the company that has published it and has proclaimed it and has set it forth is a great multitude, all the way from the Old Testament up into the New Testament, and today in Elkton Church, and today in Elkton Christian Church. I want you to know that the word has come down from Almighty God. It has come to us in this day. There's no variableness in it. There's no changing it. The Bible tells us over in one place in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the Word of God. He does not change. And what He came into this world to do, the message of it does not change. It does not alter. And it does not bear trying to change it or trying to update it to where that it jives with the type of society that we live in today. Another part of the Word of God is that man is not without hope and not without an opportunity to have access unto God. I heard him say one time, God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. And I was amazed. I thought, well, how in the world can they be saved? If God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner, how in the world can they ever be saved? But you know, the Bible says there has been a way made whereby that individuals can come unto God in a right and acceptable way. You'll find throughout the Word of God, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, this one commandment, that is to repent before God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I didn't make the rule. I didn't write down the scripture for that. That has been brought down to us by the Word of God. One day, the Apostle Paul stood on Mars Hill. It's called Areopagus in some places. He was there with the Stoics and with the Epicureans. They were the Greek, if you will, they were the Greek Harvard University in Oxford in that day and in that time. They had a forum there where that they would talk about and they would debate different things and come up with different thoughts and come up with different philosophies and so on and so forth. And Paul, whenever that he looked upon that scene, and then he looked upon all of the images and idols that were there, his heart was stirred. Oh, I would today that our heart would be stirred by the idolatry in our world today. No, we're not going to see images to Zeus, images to Mercury, all of those sort of things, but there is idolatry. There is the idolatry of humankind, humanity being worshipped today. Do you know that people worship humanity to the extent that they even change the various state that they were created in? They change it. And they worship the creature more than the Creator. Think about it today. Man is worshiping himself Man is reaching forth at a Tower of Babel in order that he might put himself up on a pinnacle and he might say, these be thy gods, this God of political correctness, this God of all the different things that we're facing in the world, this God of how that we're going to abort children. And someone will say, don't get political. Don't talk about those kinds of things. But I want to tell you, my friend, in Israel, they had to address things like that. They had to address sacrificing children unto Baal. They had to address how that they would take the image of Molech, they would heat it up to a very high degree. And then in order for their crops to be able to be sustained or to grow for that season, they would offer their children into the hands of a molten image that would burn that child. Can you imagine the screams tonight? And you know what they would do to drown those screams out? They would beat a drum. That's why it was called the Valley of Tophet. They would beat a drum so that the screams would be. And you might say, oh, preacher, just don't get gross with all this stuff. But my friend, that's what they were facing. And that's what they encountered. And that's, my friend, why that God sent a man by his word, by the name of Elijah, who confronted it and he called it exactly what it was. Yes, we need to, if necessary, get political, but we need to do it in the right spirit. We need to do it as you're going down the wrong path. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul encountered, an idolatry, worshiping this one, worshiping that one, worshiping man. And then he passed by something very interesting today. He passed by an altar, an inscription that said, to the unknown God. They had probably 30 or more gods, but there was always that, what do we call this? God's eyes hole. They were always fearful that they were going to leave one out. That's how that they were. And you know, sometimes they would even adopt, you know, some other nation's gods, just in case that they were on the right road. Man has this God-sized hole within. And I want to tell you something, my friend. It can't be filled with anything. It can't be filled with this world, what the world offers today. It can't be filled with that. You might say, how do you know that? Because I went through it myself. I thought, you know, I'm going to try a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it never satisfied until that I bowed before God and I asked Him to save me. And I asked Him to forgive me. And I want you to realize He saved me. He saved me. But Paul saw this. And the scripture says that he went into the area of where that they were gathered together. And you know, they invited him to come in. And he said, men and brethren, I noticed that while that I was here, you had an inscription over here. To the unknown God. Him you worship ignorantly. But I'm here to tell you about Him. And Paul preached. And do you know what he used? He used some poetry from one of their poets. About how that there is a God above all other gods. He said, I'm here to declare Him to you. And the Bible tells us over in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, it says that for as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as likened unto gold or to silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And he said, the times of this ignorance God has winked at. God understands. But you know, whenever that the mind is opened up, the heart is opened up as to what that God-sized hole is about. He said, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, He has commanded, whether it's on this side of the hemisphere or halfway around the globe, He has commanded all men to what? To repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day in which that He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And he's given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. We preach the death of Christ for atonement, but you know the resurrection of Christ is for justification. It says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, he was delivered for our offenses, for our sins. He was delivered because he took our place upon Calvary. But he was raised for our justification. And how are we justified before God? We're justified by faith in that crucified Savior and that resurrected Savior. Amen? That's the gospel. We find today, my friend, that God is faithful unto his word. He said, unto this individual will I look, that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, who trembleth at my word. God accepts the humble. He pushes aside the proud, the ones who've determined, I will make my own God. I will come to God my way. Brother, I want to tell you, you come to God his way or you don't come at all. There is only one way unto God. Jesus said in one place, he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we find that he's faithful unto his word, and what he has said, he will do. If a person comes to be saved, he will save them. If they reject him, he will reject them. And I know that, my friend, he is a God of love. He is a God of compassion, but he's also a God of justice. He is a God of goodness today. And he is a God that is true unto his word. Now, he's not only that and faithful and all those things that we've said, but you know, he makes his word makes an impact upon us as Christian people. I'm going to talk to the Christian people now. His word is settled in heaven forever. You know what that means? It means it's secure. What God has said he will do, it's secure. All those things, his faithfulness, his unchangeability, all those things that it talks about. How that he is true, he is eternal, all the attributes of God. He is true unto it today. And my friend, he will comfort his people as the days come upon us that we might dread. Do you know today that we can count on that? And we're going to have to count on that. Because today, my friend, we've got no other Savior we can turn to. And when I say this in all love. The government's not going to help you. They can't save you. They can't give you peace. They're fine. They do what they can. But it only comes from Almighty God. His word gives us a firm foundation. You remember over in Matthew chapter 7 and also in the 24th and 25th verses, it talks about a parable that Jesus spoke about a man that built his house upon the sand. And you know, down in the southern states and in Florida, we've seen what a hurricane can do to a house that's built on sand. And no matter how deep those pilings go, no matter how far down that they go, they still weren't adequate enough. And that's the illustration that Jesus gives in this chapter and in this verse that we read in your hearing. There's only one foundation to build upon. Whether you're lost or whether you're seeking salvation or whether you've been saved, there's only one foundation to secure yourself on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because, my friend, he has the same attributes as the Father. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's unchanging. He is one that will stick closer than a brother. He's the only one, my friend, that can get you through whatever type of trial that you're going through. And you might say, how do you know that? Because, brother, I've tasted of the Lord and he's good. And he has brought us through a lot. He's a guidance to us tonight. You know what it says in the same psalm? It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And oh, if we've ever lived in a time of darkness, it's in this day in which that we live. I'm not talking about the physical darkness. I'm talking about the spiritual darkness. But he'll be a light unto us, an eternal light, an everlasting light. And that will guide us through whatever that we're facing, whether it's cancer, whether that it's sickness, whether that it's disease, whatever that it might be today. I preach unto you today only Jesus. Only Jesus. I'm going to cap this off. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Now get this. And there's not anything made that was made without Him. And you know, if He can uphold all of these things for us, if He can get us through death, if He can get us through all of these things today, do you know He'll go with us throughout all of eternity? God bless you is my prayer. God be with each and every one of you is my desire. I don't know anyone's heart here tonight. I just know mine. I just know that God saved one day a 17-year-old boy that was bowed and asking God to save him. And God saved him. And God redeemed him. And then He took that same 17-year-old boy that had all of his ambitions and all of the things he was going to do, and he was going to have a Nobel Science Prize by the time that he was 24, but that didn't happen. One day in Southwest Baptist College, walking out the door. And Brother John knows how that they have a chime. Just as I was walking out the left-hand side of the door at about 9 o'clock, I felt a different calling. I can't explain it, but He called me to stand in a pulpit and to preach His Word to the best of my ability. Now, there have been times whenever that, you know, we've sometimes wondered at that call. But, you know, I would not want to be doing anything else in this hour in which that we live except to be doing this right now to encourage God's people, to warn the lost, to warn those that were like me at one time. And I pray for you. I get that membership roll out. And that's how I learned your names. I get that membership roll out. And Brother Kenneth, I go down the line. And I say, please be with Sister Shirley. And be with her husband, Glenn. Be with Sister Karen. Be with Sister Pat. Be with Brother Ron. Be with Sister Linda. Be with Brother Jerry. Be with all of you today. I want God to bless you. And you know, if there was any blessings that God was going to give to me in the future, it's not that I don't want them. I want you more to have them than for me. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be built up. I want you to have that assurance that He is going to be with you even unto the end of the world. I want you to have that assurance that, my friend, when the dam breaks and all, my friend, the flood of everything that may come upon us, I want you to have that assurance that when, if that happens, God will be with me and God will walk with me and God will guide me and God will. And I want to tell you one of the things that I want to encourage you to do. And you probably, the people here at Elkton, have heard this before. So I guess you can ignore it if you want to. Get into this. Get into this, the Word of God. This is the mind of God. This is from the very heart of God. This is from past eternity, where that the triune met together to determine the best way in order to redeem man from sin. Get into this today, and you know it'll speak to you. Do you know that God will animate it by His Holy Spirit today? He'll animate it. He'll speak to you. Then get into this and sing the praises of God. I love to hear y'all sing. Don't tell me today you can't sing. You can sing. You can make merry melody in your heart. My friend, the Bible says in one place, God inhabits the praises of His people. And then there's one last thing. If you don't understand this book, do what I'm doing. Get down on your knees and ask God to open it up to you. And you know He will. He may not do it in your time frame. He may not do it the way you want it, and you may not like the answer. But He will reveal it. Get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and pray every day. God bless you is my prayer. I really, really appreciate this opportunity to stand before you. I know that I've preached from here to there to all over the place. I understand that. But I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for the people of God. I'm thankful for the redeemed. I feel such a close kindred to you, even more than my own flesh and blood. And you know, we are united together with something that is more binding than just brotherly love or cousins or whatever. We're knit together with the blood of Christ. We've been to the same fount. We've been to the same Savior. We've been to the same cross. And God bless you is my prayer.